Today on With Warm Welcome, we sit down with Louise Palmberg, a food photographer that I actually came across on Eater for a shoot with Automix, one of Manhattan's hottest Korean tasting menu restaurants. And her work was so distinct and unique that I had to have her on the show to talk about her creative process, her upbringing, and her passion for food photography.
I grew up in Sweden. I was born and raised in Sweden. I was there for 18 years and then moved to the U.S. to go to college.
Yeah.
So I'm 25 now.
Yeah.
And growing up, I'm from like a small-ish town called Jönköping, which is right in the middle of Stockholm and Copenhagen. So if you draw a straight line between Stockholm and
literally
Copenhagen.
In the middle.
Yeah, I'm like right in the middle. So, I mean, I grew up there. My parents are both in the restaurant industry. My dad's still in the restaurant industry. My mom is not, but like before I was born, they were both in the kitchen. Mm. My mom was a prep cook and my dad was a chef.
Mm-hmm.
And so my dad still works in food, but my mom doesn't. So that was always just like so influential of my childhood.
Yeah.
Like my dad taught me how to cook. I cook so much like I still do. And it was just, yeah, really, really influenced me growing up.
That's awesome. But how did you and why did you want to move to New York after living 18 years straight in Sweden? What made you want to move here?
I guess it was like, so my mom used to live in the U.S. in like the 80s before I was born. And she always had this like great experience.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was in high school, I took a special high school program called International Baccalaureate, which is all in English and it really prepares you to study abroad.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a many little things that kind of felt like pieced together really well. And then I really wanted to go to like university for like get my bachelor in photography.
Yeah.
And in Sweden, that's not really a thing. There are no bachelor programs for photography or anything like visual in that sense.
Yeah.
I just had to look elsewhere.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And the first country that's popped to mind was like, oh, I want to go to America. So I did that like when I first graduated high school, I wanted to go to culinary school.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to be a professional chef. I was like, this is it. And my dad was like, no.
Yeah.
My dad was like,
no.
No, don't do that. Don't go to. He was like, if you want to be a chef, that's fine, but don't spend your money and time on going to culinary school. Yeah, like you can do that later. He was like, I'd rather see you go to art school. I mean, like, I was also really interested in photography, so like it did make sense.
Yeah.
Like I used to be a photographer for the local newspaper I grew up. Like I used to shoot arts and culture for them.
Right.
So I was already involved in photography and stuff like that.
What made you pick up a camera when you were younger? Like what?
I remember like very specifically when I was in like middle school.
Yeah.
And I hope you don't tell my parents this. I would like pretend to be sick from school and so I could stay home. And then I would like borrow my dad's camera and like take pictures of like stuff in the house. My dad also used to be an underwater photographer as well. My parents are a lot. They're a lot of things. They used to be like diving instructors in Australia before I was born. And so my dad was an underwater photographer. So we had all this camera gear at home. So I always saw, and like our whole house was just really scattered with like pictures that my dad made. So it just kind of made sense.
Yeah.
You know, I really got like cooking and photography from him.
Right. And then what, was there another moment maybe like later down the road and as you were taking photos for your local newspaper, was there a moment where you're like, huh, I kind of want to do this for a living, or you thought that this would be a viable career option for you at all, or?
I mean, I think that when I was like a teenager, I was so short-sighted that I didn't really consider what was the long-term opinion or option. I was like, let's do the thing that sounds the most fun.
Yeah, and the most fun was just taking photos.
The most fun was just taking photos. And like I feel like now I'm really happy that I chose that route because I could have so easily ended up in a career that I didn't feel as passionate about.
Right.
Where if I had chosen a quote-unquote realistic career, that would have had a safe outcome, I don't think I would feel as fulfilled as I do now.
And now I think you're more or less known for a lot of restaurant hospitality work. Yeah. So how did you kind of transition from, so you went to SVA for photography. Yeah. Is that what you majored in?
Yeah.
How did you end up like getting these gigs?
It was funny because for the first 3 years of college, I was so lost. I had no clue what I wanted to do. You know, I was trying to fit into this like art school archetype, which is just making fine artwork and making stuff that is complex and like interesting. And I couldn't figure it out because like I didn't really want to do that and I didn't really care. So I was so confused. I was so lost. And like I was like, what am I doing? Am I just wasting my time here? And then I remember it was Friday night at like 3:30 in the morning, and I was standing on like the Union Square subway platform, and I was probably drunk, and I remember it like hitting me, and I still remember it like to this day. Like it just like hit me where, what if I did both? All I wanted to do when I was younger was like be in restaurants and being in the culinary profession. Like what if I do both?
Yeah, why not?
Like, why not? I had never thought about it. And like, now it seems dumb that it didn't come to me immediately, but yeah, whatever.
Yeah, Friday night, 3:30 a.m., it just clicked.
It just clicked. And I emailed my professor, like my thesis professor, right then and there. And I was like, I got it.
You were on the platform at Union Square.
I like emailed him. I was like, I got it. Figured it out. And I think he answered like 4 a.m. Congratulations. My job here is done. He was like, this is it. And then I have never done anything else since.
Yeah. Always restaurant-related gigs, you think?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, it's interesting when you find the thing that you're most passionate about and you're able to make a career out of it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel very grateful that I was able to do that.
Yeah. Right after college, correct me if I'm wrong, did you go right into Huge after college? Is that kind of where you went after that? Or?
Yeah. So after I graduated, I started working for the ad agency Huge.
Mm-hmm.
First, I started part-time, like an intern.
Internship, yeah.
Yeah. And so I was doing that, like, a few days a week. And then the rest of the week, I started shooting freelance, like, editorial content.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of restaurant coverage for Brooklyn Magazine and stuff like that. And then after a while, I was offered a full-time job with Huge. So I took that. I worked in their in-house studio for a year or so,
mm-hmm.
something like it.
Yeah.
Up until my OPT, which is my like the work permit that you get after graduating.
Yeah.
Up until that expired.
How was that experience for you at Huge? Like, did you enjoy working for an ad agency? Like,
I mean, I think that it's definitely like where I am now. It has definitely benefit me a lot to do that because I was able to work with people who had a lot of experience.
Right.
They had like really good backgrounds. They were super accomplished professionally. And I mean, I was like an intern coming straight out of college, you know, like it was really, I learned so much during my time there at Huge that I think has benefited me now in my freelance career afterwards.
Yeah.
Especially working with like larger commercial clients.
Yeah.
You know?
They have really big name clients like Google, Nike, right?
Yeah. So they work with, it's a really large agency. So like, and they have lots of worldwide offices.
Yeah.
It really prepped me well for what is to come now.
Yeah. So after that, your OPT expired. I think you could have easily said, oh, maybe I'll go look for another job. And having this experience on your belt, I think it would have been easy for you to go to a different ad agency maybe. What prompted you to go freelancing?
I mean, it was,
another Friday, 3:30 a.m.
I mean, it was also just like, I was presented with the opportunity to be sponsored by an O-1 or be sponsored for an O-1, which is the artist visa, and worked on my application for the O-1 for a really, really long time, like 6 months while I was still working at Huge when my deadline was kind of coming up. And then we filed my application just as my OPT expired and we sent it in to USCIS, and then it came back in August or something, August or September of 2017, and like I got it. And it felt like a lot of people who apply for O1s are not given it immediately.
Yeah.
You know, they have to provide more evidence,
yeah,
or, you know, they only get a short period of time, yeah, or they get denied.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the fact that mine was granted for the, in, like, the first try, I felt like I kind of had to give it a shot. I've been tempted many times to take a full-time job because of the safety and the comfort.
Yeah.
But it's, I feel like I owe it to myself to kind of try it.
What kind of keeps you going? Because I think that we were having this conversation off air where I think there are a lot of people, especially in our age range,
mm-hmm,
that want to try out their creative passions and pursue that as a, I mean, it's, I honestly think it's a dream job almost to be able to work for yourself, but also do what you love. What keeps you going in the hard days?
I would get so anxious if I just like sat on the couch doing nothing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's a personality
trait. It's a personality trait, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's just like, it makes it easy for me because I hold myself to a high standard where I wouldn't allow myself to do anything else,
mm-hmm,
you know? And I also think that there's a lot on the line for me. I need to perform in order to keep my visa. You know, in order to get it extended, I need to continue performing because I need to, like, they need to see an upwards trajectory in my career. Otherwise, they're not going to give it to me again.
Right.
I'm not going to get more time. And, I mean, I don't have that much at home. You know, I don't have anything to fall back on, really. This is it.
Like, yeah.
This is all I got.
Yeah. Talk to us a little bit about the actual like photo shoot. Let's say you have a photo shoot lined up,
mm-hmm,
start to finish. And we talk a lot in restaurants about mise en place, right? Like,
mm-hmm,
what is your mise en place before a photo shoot?
I guess it depends a bit on the situation. If it's an editorial shoot, let's say for, you know, Eater or New York Magazine or something like that, it's very often I get contacted by the editor,
mm-hmm,
who says like, hey, we're doing this piece on this restaurant. Can you shoot it? And I say yes, and they give me a list of stuff that they want shot, and then usually I research the restaurant a little bit before, you know,
yeah,
see if there has been any other press, any other photos, always helpful. If it's a newly opened restaurant, it's always trickier because I don't really know what I'm going into, but
yeah,
if it's a review for a restaurant that has been open for a while, it's easier because then I'll like check out Yelp, and I'll check out different platforms for different photos. I like sometimes check out where the restaurant's located, just
right,
so I can see like where the sun is.
Nice.
You know, like what it's going to be, the lighting conditions.
Yeah.
What am I going into?
What are you working with?
Yeah. And then I mean, like I go. Sometimes I interact with the PR agency. It depends on how big the restaurant is. Sometimes I have a PR contact there. Sometimes I don't. Then, you know, we shoot through the shot list that has been provided to me, and then I edit them fairly quickly and then send them over to my editor.
Yeah. Do you have a stylist that you work with, like a food stylist, or?
So it depends a little bit, again, on the job. Like for editorial jobs, especially because me personally, I shoot almost like 98% of my work on location. I don't shoot that much in studio. There are other food photographers whose whole career is, you know, shot, or whose whole work is shot in studio.
Yeah.
I shoot everything on location in the restaurant with the chef, like the real stuff.
Right, right.
And because we want to show the real food.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm shooting commercial jobs, there's definitely a food stylist on set.
On set, yeah. What kind of equipment do you use? What does your setup look like?
So, I mean, it's funny. It's like people are always just like, what do you light your stuff with? I actually just upgraded it like 2 weeks ago, but like up until 2 weeks ago, I lit everything with like a $50 like off camera flash, which is just like so shitty, but it's been working really well.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so I mean, I shoot everything. I have like a main one body, one lens that I shoot most of my things with. I have a Nikon D850 that I shoot with, and a Nikon 24-70 lens, And then I shoot now with the Profoto B10, which is like an off-camera light that you can like set the power off, and it's very simple.
I think the other thing too is like that if you go on Instagram or social media, there's just so many photos of food, right? So how did you learn to develop this unique style of photo taking, and what sets you apart from the rest? I mean, I know your work when I see it, but like, how did you develop that style?
I look at a lot of other photographers. I want to make sure that my work is interesting and not like super one-dimensional. I want to make sure that I also add my own perspective on things, so that I have, there's some like visual identity in the pictures, so that people can like, when they see my photos, they're like, this is
Louise.
Yeah. Like, I think that is super important, but also it's hard to put that into words, what that is.
Right.
You know, it's like something that I have, it took me a long time to also find like a visual identity, I think. And it's something that has taken a long time to like define.
Yeah.
Like, if I had to describe it, it would probably be like, I think most of my work is pretty real. Is then like, it's slightly documentary, but it has a very strong like visual aesthetic.
Yeah.
Like, and a strong sense of lighting.
Yeah.
And I think that for portraiture especially, I think that it's, my work gets pretty close to the subject, not just visually, but like emotionally. Like, I want people to look comfortable, and I want people to look real people.
Yeah.
Not like super posed.
Posed. That's awesome that you kind of bring that up, because I think that transitions into what I wanted to talk next about, is like, you know, taking photos of food, I think, is one thing, because it's not like as if the food has emotions, or you need to work with it. I guess you do in a certain extent, but especially when you take photos of chefs or of people, and maybe they are chefs that are not used to getting their photos taken a lot, or maybe they are, but how do you go about a situation like this where, how do you get them comfortable in the sense that you use that word?
I think that partially it's on my end, where I will just continuously talk to people. Like, I just like talk, and like, I will talk about the most mundane things. And but then I also think that, like, for me personally, like, chefs are my favorite people.
Yeah.
You know, and I respect chefs much, like, so much.
Yeah.
And I think that, like, I feel really comfortable around chefs, because I think that it's like their vibe is like,
you kind of grew up with that too. You're familiar with that vibe.
Yeah. And like, I am so down with that, and I feel so comfortable in that situation that it's just like, it's my favorite situation. And I think that easily shows, like, when I can be in a restaurant kitchen, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
You know? And like, I think that easily shows that I want to be there.
Yeah.
You know, like, I want to be here. I want to take your picture. I really want to like show your best. And I love what you do so much that I want to make sure that whatever we end up with is going to be like the best version that we could have ended up with.
Right. So you're walking into situations, first of all, very happy and just very grateful. And that almost kind of emits this aura maybe that people get, and that in turn makes them feel comfortable.
Yeah, I think that like the fact that restaurants and chefs is what I want to do for the rest of my life, like, it's the only thing that I care about.
Right.
I think that really just like that energy kind of spreads.
Is there a recent photo shoot that you really liked, or is very memorable to you?
Or I guess it was a couple of months ago, like when Momofuku Co. opened up the bar. That was pretty memorable, because that was like one of the bigger restaurants that was handed to me like for an editorial assignment.
Right.
And I just had such a good time with all of them there. Like, they're such nice people.
The other question I think people want to hear is, do you get to taste the food?
Yes. Sometimes. It depends a little bit on the situation.
Yeah.
And the restaurant, but very often.
Yeah.
I do taste the food.
Well, we talked a little bit about your photo process like on site, mm-hmm. and then off site with the editing process, like what does that look like for you? What do you use to edit your photos, and are there certain filters that you like?
So I mean, I do all my coloring myself, which I think is pretty crucial, and I color everything in Capture One, mm-hmm. which has a different algorithm to calculate color than Adobe products.
Yeah,
and I really prefer the look of their interface and the
UI. You like the UI a little bit better?
Yeah, yeah, it's really nice.
Yeah.
And they just, especially for color, it's like so, I prefer it much more than
like,
Adobe.
Like a Lightroom or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't really use it at all. So, I mean, I do all my color myself, which is, it's interesting with food because it can't overpower the, you know, like since it's food, like everyone knows what meat looks like, or everyone knows what a carrot looks like. Like,
you don't want to distort it too much.
Yeah, you can't distort it too much, but I still want to have like a very distinct look on it, you know. I always lean more like vintage or like film look on all my photos, and it's just it's a fine balance of like how much to color.
What is coloring for people that don't know?
Sure. I mean, it's like, you know, I will change the white balance, or I will change the highlights or the shadows, or sometimes I can like add color into the highlights or into the shadows. Or, you know, like if you are, let's say if you're on Instagram and you add a filter to a photo, that's just adding different color treatments to a photo. So it's kind of like filters, but I build them myself.
Right. Like you're not going through VSCO and you're doing a A1, A2, A3. You're literally building out that filter.
Yeah. So if I will like do it each photo itself,
individually. That's crazy. And how many photos are you going through to select like one photo, for example?
I mean, I guess it really depends on the assignment. Like I'd say on average, I shoot about 300 photos in like, if I'm doing like an editorial story, it's usually around 300. And then usually I deliver around 20 to 30.
And as we kind of transition more to maybe talking about the concept of hospitality, something that I try to do is ask the guests first, what defines hospitality to you? What does that mean to you when you hear that word?
I mean, for me, hospitality is very much about invitation, inviting someone to have a special experience, which I think can be transcend the restaurant industry, and I think that it can be applied to other.
Yeah.
You know, like me as a photographer, I have to be hospitable, you know. I have to be thinking about how my clients and the people that I work with are perceiving me as a person.
Yeah.
But I still think that it's about being inviting.
Yeah. Passion is another big word that we talk about in the show. Mm-hmm. Like, why are you passionate about photography?
Because I think it allows me to connect with people in a way that I wouldn't otherwise.
Yeah.
I think that it allows me to meet people that I wouldn't otherwise. You know, like I've met some awesome people, like awesome chefs, awesome editors. Like it's just introduces me to people and gives me a link to people that I wouldn't have otherwise.
Yeah. It's almost like a vehicle for you to network and build out your circle too.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, like, I think that especially like surrounding food, it's like, to me, it's strong. Like my passion around food is like sometimes a little bit ridiculous.
How so?
My boyfriend makes fun of me because I will like cry when I watch like Chef's Table because it's so beautiful. And like, it's...
Do you really?
Yes. I'm so... It's so well done. And just like, I feel so strongly about food that I don't feel that strongly about anything else.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I want to do for the rest of my life.
For people that want to follow your work and like kind of stay in the loop with everything Luis, how should we follow you?
You can check out my Instagram, which is Luis Cecilia Palmberg, or my website, which is luispalmberg.com.
As we close out the episode, I would like to thank Luis for her time, the team at Anchor, and to our sponsors. Join us next Wednesday for another warm welcome.